All right. The Andy Finn Show is back. And, Mike, we're going to close the show tonight with first Wackos, Bunkos, and Locos. And then we're going to talk about over there, our fictitious friends who are fighting in Iraq. So let's go straight to Wackos and lead us off.
Do you feel inferior? Do you sometimes think that you're not as bright as the rest of us? The Andy Finn Show has the cure. Listen to stories about some real idiots. Yes, it's time for another edition of Wackos, Bunkos, and Locos. Tales of the not-so-bright among us.
Well, Andy, you know how everybody's bitching and moaning about outsourcing of U.S. jobs?
Oh, I sure do.
Man, I tell you. Well, this is kind of funny. A Pakistani company by the name of The Resource Group, they're seeking more call center work from U.S. firms, and they decided to set up an office this year in D.C. That's one block from the White House. And believe it or not, installed in the reception area is a receptionist live from Karachi on a flat-screen TV. Now, according to the Post this past May, this video receptionist will greet visitors, answer questions, route phone calls to the Washington office, let in delivery men, and even order sandwiches from down the street. So they can't hire some American secretary. They have to have their own secretary from Karachi on a flat-screen TV in the lobby of their office in Washington, D.C.
What happens if somebody decides to go past? I guess there's a locked door you can't get past.
That or she has a death ray or something. I don't know what to say there.
She has a ray gun.
And, yeah, they're having a problem with Unix in India. And if you are familiar with...
E-U-N-C-H, however that's spelled?
E-U-N-U-C-H.
Not U-N-I-X.
No.
The operating system. Because I'm having a problem with Unix here in the U.S. The operating system.
Oh, okay. No, this is Unix, the gentleman who...
The gentleman who aren't.
Yes. And this is in a town called Lucknow, India. Isn't there a Lucknow in Kentucky?
It's Lucknow.
Well, they've demanded that the district magistrate and the senior superintendent of the police there order cops to begin exposing fake eunuchs by lifting their...
Exposing them?
Exposing them by lifting their skirts to verify their status.
Where? Are these in a palace? What is it?
No, it's in the town, because apparently what they're doing is people are coming in to stores and businesses or whatnot and threatening to show their what they don't have unless they're given money to leave or something like that. This is ridiculous.
I'm not following this too much, but the original purpose of eunuchs, as I understood it, was the Sultan had a eunuch around so that he knew that the guys, these young men, were not doing any hanky-panky with any of his wives, because there's all these beautiful women around. What do you expect young men to do? So... if they don't have the equipment, they not play it a game.
Well, these particular band of thug eunuchs, I guess.
Thug eunuchs?
Yeah.
Again, we're back to UNIX.
They're entering places of businesses and private parties, and then they're exposing themselves and otherwise being obnoxious, and they're demanding fees to leave.
So, okay, let's move on, because I have nothing else to contribute to that story.
Nor do I. You gotta wonder people's motives sometimes, and then again ask yourself, would you do the same thing in this situation? A gentleman in West Hartford, Connecticut, by the name of Matthew Flynn, aged 46, allegedly threatened to castrate an ice cream truck driver with a pair of hedge clippers because the driver blares his jingle on and on and on up and down the street, despite the fact that this gentleman has told the ice cream truck driver that no kids live on the street.
Oh, well, I
could see. So enough was enough.
And it was driving him crazy.
Absolutely.
Well, there's an ice cream truck around here that drives me crazy, but I've yet to take the hedge trimmers to him.
And then do you ever get waken up in the middle of the night by a car alarm going off, and it goes on and on before somebody
finally...
Not
too often, but it has happened on the rare occasion.
Well, a gentleman in L.A. by the name of David Owen Rye got fed up one night and was charged with, I don't know what the charge was, but apparently he just got fed up, went out into the parking lot of the apartment complex.
Let me guess, he blasted it with a gun.
Three times.
Where did he hit it?
It doesn't say where he hit it.
Was he able to shut off the alarm, or don't
no,
they say?
No, he can't go on.
Yeah, you can't. That's right. I could already predict.
I would imagine he probably shot the engine.
See, that's why you need RPGs or a Stinger missile for that kind of operation. And that's why I think the NRA are wimps when they limit us to assault rifles. You've got to have more firepower than that for situations exactly like that.
Yeah, I would recommend a minigun or something of that nature. You know, Andy, oh, I don't know if you knew this, but they had the world's ugliest dog contest in California
recently. I did not know about the world's ugliest dog contest, but I dated someone once that might have a shot at this.
Well, yeah, it's funny you mention that because the dog I'm about to describe to you sounds a lot like my prom date.
Woof!
The dog's name is Sam. It's a 14-year-old Chinese crested, whatever the heck that
is. You dated a 14-year-old for the prom?
Yeah.
That's old in dog years.
No, I'm kidding. Anyway, the animal was described as, quote, wrinkled brown skin covered with splotches, a line of warts that march down his snout, his blind eyes are an alien milky white, and there's a fleshy flap of skin that hangs down from his withered neck.
You know, it just doesn't sound so much like my prom date as the woman I expect to marry when I'm 70.
And apparently he has Austin Powers-type teeth that just jut out at angles from all over the mouth.
And hair, too.
And apparently the owner said that when the judges first saw the dog, a few of them recoiled in horror. So,
well, that's a winner, then.
That is one ugly dog. And then we'll wrap it up with the least competent criminals segment.
Oh, I love these least competent criminals.
21-year-old Jeremy Suggs was arrested in Las Vegas, Nevada, in August last month, and charged with robbing a Wells Fargo bank. You know how he got caught, Andy?
No, I do not.
He left behind his wallet and his name that had a deposit slip that had all his information on it.
Well, I have heard of people filling out the deposit slip and then handing on the back of it writing, this is a stick-up, give me your money, and there's their account information on the thing.
It's, well, he must have been nervous because, according to police, he also fired two shots in the bank when he got frustrated with the noncompliance of his demands.
Are you sure there wasn't a car alarm on or something?
No. The funny thing is, the first shot narrowly missed his head, and he had to recount down to a threat doing the old 5-4-3-2-1 thing, and because nobody gave him the money the first time. And he got convinced or talked into doing this thing because his accomplice convinced him that there were no cameras in the bank, and of course there were.
I can't believe. Well, that's least competent, also stupidest.
Yeah, that reminds me of another story I heard one time. This guy tried to yank one of those drive-through ATMs out of the wall with his pickup truck. After several failed attempts, he finally decided to leave. But what he didn't realize was that his bumper with the license plate got ripped off as well, left behind.
Well, of course, the camera would get the bumper.
Yeah.
We'd get the license plate.
But they didn't have to because it was there when they got
it. Well, there have been a couple of cases where thieves have successfully come in with a big forklift, picked up one of those ATM machines, not attached to a building, right?
Right.
Self-standing, and carted it off. Mm. Now, those are pretty hard to do. Those are pretty big and heavy and bolted down.
Yeah, but what could you net from a crime like that? A couple grand at most?
I mean, no. If you think about it, if it's on a weekend, on Friday, they must fill those things up with at least 20 grand.
Really?
Well, think about it. If while you're there taking out 200, two or three other people sometimes on a Friday night are taking out 200, the machine's still got money on Sunday. My guess is there's 20 grand in easy in most of those machines.
Yeah.
Well, let's try it.
Yeah, we'll give it a try sometime.
Actually, I have someone I can ask how much money is in the average machine. I have someone I can ask about that. She used to be in charge of ATMs for Fleet Bank.
And don't believe a word of it.
No, this part's true.
Okay.
Okay, so we got a couple minutes left, and I want to briefly cover, Mike, Iraq, but not the war, because mercifully, the hurricane has taken our mind off of war, off of Cindy Sheehan and anti-war, and off of missing white women for a couple of weeks at least. So over there is the FX television series that is a fictionalized account of what our soldiers are going through in Iraq. Following one particular platoon, it's now been 6 weeks. We're getting to know these folks a little. We're getting to like them. Tell me your impressions of, describe a little bit of the plot to the audience, and then let's talk briefly about it.
Well, I mean, this particular episode was kind of all over the place, but, you know, without dragging on too long, basically they get assigned to a detention center to help guard some suspected insurgents. And, but backtracking a little bit, Mrs. B, the attractive blonde lady in the unit, has a brush with death, not once, but twice. The first time an RPG is fired and goes through the cab of her truck, barely missing her nose.
Doesn't explode till it hits the hill way beyond. That and seemed unrealistic, but you said you've heard of that happening.
I've heard of that happening from men who have been over there.
It was bizarre, but an unusual but interesting to see.
And her second brush with death came when she was working the detention facility. In a most unorthodox way, they were actually walking amongst the prisoners as they slept and ate and
they
talked.
Did that all through the show, didn't they?
That was weird.
They were inside the fence with the prisoners, and these are Marines with rifles and weapons.
But yeah, she's walking amongst them as they're sleeping, and one of them isn't quite sleeping. He's faking it, and he knocks her to the ground, you know, hits her a couple times, takes her weapon, and luckily Angel, the marksman of the group, takes the guy out.
Yeah, they're watching, and they take him out.
That's and right. Then she's told by, they get a new lieutenant, who's a bit of a hard-ass, for lack of a better word.
Very
he's an attorney, and he certainly acts like one.
Actually, he's over the lieutenant, right. He's over the sergeant.
Platoon leader, yeah.
Right.
So he has a brush with the sergeant, and he actually accuses, what's her face? The other woman in the unit.
The wide load? What's her
accuses
name?
Her of negligence or something in the death. He accused Smoke of negligence in the death of the prior lieutenant. So basically, he's not off to a good start with the men. I don't think they like him too much, especially the sergeant.
Well, but also, Smoke had just roughed up this guy.
Who called him a Yankee nigger.
He called him a Yankee nigger, and so Smoke hit him with the butt of his rifle. And so,
rightly so.
the lieutenant makes it clear to the sergeant that he wants Smoke out of the unit. Mm-hmm. Smoke's a troublemaker. Of course, Smoke is the one that had killed in a previous episode, killed the two innocent civilians that wandered into the compound, although they suspect they were pushed into the compound by insurgents that wanted to give the Marines a black eye.
Right.
But he's a little bit of a wild man. He's a little bit of a malcontent, and the new lieutenant wants him gone. So the sergeant heard this in a private conversation. The guy said, I want him out. So he warned Smoke and he said, look, you better watch your back. The kind of stuff you're doing right now, you're digging your own grave. You know, you're going to be hustled out of this unit.
Mm-hmm.
Watch your back.
Right.
The lieutenant is out for you. So he let him know.
Yeah, and they showed Bo back home with his family. And
Bo has lost a leg, of course, and is working through rehab. They showed him going to a picnic on the beach.
He's having a hard time accepting his fate. You know, he has a hard time accepting the fact that he is disabled now.
That's right.
He got all upset with his wife when she parked in the handicapped spot.
Yep, she parked in the handicapped spot, and he didn't like that.
And he was holding his son. He almost fell over, you know, because he's not as strong or agile as he used to be.
And you can see the worry on the wife's face because she doesn't want to say anything. But he said, whoops, Junior almost dropped you. But in fact, if you drop the kid on a pavement because you can't stand yourself, the question is whether the wife should be handling the kid more.
Right.
And she doesn't want to treat him like he has a disability. But in fact, she's worried about the safety of her son.
Yeah, so they address that, and that's going to come to a head here. I think the wife's either going to tell him, look, you need to accept your fate or I'm out of here kind of thing. But, well, that remains to be seen. And Mrs. B, I think her brushes with death, coupled with the fact that she found out her son has autism, has led her to do some pretty strange things. She went home on her 5-day leave.
She was given a chance to go home because the son has autism.
Right. She gave some money to the mother, and she never saw the son while she was there. That was the interesting part. She saw the baby's daddy in jail and told him to stay away.
Right.
She went and saw the husband's friend, Wade, and I forget the reason why, but she slept
with him. I know
why.
She used to sell fake IDs before she went into the service. He supplied them, and she made a little money that way. And she went back to him and got fake ID for a blonde woman, 5 feet tall, just like herself. She tells Wade, these are worth 8 times as much in Iraq or in the service. And he says, well, why do you want one that looks like you? And he knows then that she's planning to go AWOL. And so she goes to bed with him to keep him quiet, to get the ID and to keep him quiet.
That part I didn't really pay attention
to. And she doesn't look happy about it, but she agrees to sleep with him. So the final degradation or whatever. But she's planning to go AWOL and not ever get caught.
She's smoking hot, too, by the way.
Yeah.
I mean, you see her in the Kevlar and the body armor. It doesn't do her justice.
No, it doesn't.
She's stripped down, man.
This is Cable.
But, yeah, and then, she boards a Greyhound bus for Hollywood, California and decides to go AWOL. And that's pretty much the story. Oh, and one of the prisoners somehow manages to get a bomb strapped to himself. And winds up detonating the device at the end of the show, taking a few prisoners with him. and thus causing more mayhem and carnage. So,
which we could blame on our boys, I'm sure of it.
Yep. So, yeah, another grueling, well, not grueling, but gruesome episode of over there. Very realistic portrayal in some sense. But then again, the walking amongst the prisoners didn't seem too realistic
to
me.
Yeah, I wondered about that. Usually, I trust Steve Bochco and his advisors. They wouldn't do these kinds of things unless that were realistic. On the other hand, I can't imagine that we're letting our guards walk among hundreds of detainees inside the fence. It just doesn't make any sense.
No.
It added to the drama.
Them secured in a butt pyramid type formation. That's a dangerous situation.
Usually that's at night, a few prisoners and a lot of guards, plus a camera.
Yeah.
Anyway, we'll cap it there. That is the end of this edition of the Andy Finn Show. We'll be back next Thursday night at 7 p.m. with another show. And we'll be talking again, I'm sure, about Hurricane Katrina, because this problem is going to last months and months and months and years, just like the tsunami, which has kind of fallen off our radar screen. And until then, remember, do it. Don't doubt it.